Nation, welcome to the SI Sooners podcast. Today it is the beast that never dies. It's the Waffle House of college football. It's always open. We got the transfer portal news. That's right, transfer portal is back. Just like Waffle House, it's always open. We're taking an early sneak peek at the NFL draft. We're going to find out why some people have a couple of Sooners as real first-round candidates, and why some people think they are not. We're going to talk about the 2021 college football schedule that the Sooners Big 12 released last week. Ryan ranked every game. And of course, you know we're going to have some recruiting news. Oklahoma is handing out offers. But first, Ryan, you have been a victim of OG&E's rolling blackouts. No Wi-Fi, no TV, no heat. What was that like?
Yeah, John, thankfully we were only out for about 90 minutes, and so nothing too bad there. We weren't totally snowed in where we were at too. The roads were kind of packed down, so we were really thankful of that. But yeah, it sure makes life difficult, John, not to get on a soapbox and complain. When news starts breaking, we want to get that out to you guys. That's what we love to do. And I'm looking around like, okay, can't go to the laptop because there's no Wi-Fi. Okay, I guess I'll just work this out on the phone. It was a disaster. But you know what, John? Considering everything that's going on across the state and across this region, we count ourselves pretty thankful that we only had that one little bit of hiccup there.
We kind of haven't missed a beat at SI Sooners. We've got weather updates, allsooners.com, games getting pushed back, series getting canceled. So check that out, allsooners.com. Ryan's in Norman. I'm John Hoover. I'm in Tulsa. I have avoided the blackouts so far, thankfully.
Congrats.
Appreciate you guys listening to the SI Sooners podcast. And as always, thanks for watching on my YouTube channel. SI Sooners, as you know, is a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. SI Sooners, again, the website is allsooners.com. We got big news in basketball. We got big news in softball. We just talked to Patty Gasso a few minutes ago. We're going to try and hit on a little bit of everything for you guys. Ryan, let's open with the big news of the week so far, and that is the transfer portal. I said it was the Waffle House of college football. Like, it's always open. Somebody somewhere is always eating at a Waffle House, right? So somebody somewhere is always in the transfer portal, or they're thinking about eating at a Waffle House, or they're remembering the one time that they were at the Waffle House, just like remembering the time they were in the transfer portal. Sometimes you go there and it feels kind of gross, kind of skeezy, kind of sticky. 3 a.m. Right? The floor is dirty. Something hasn't been cleaned up. Something doesn't smell quite right. But then you go there some days and all you want, bro, is some waffles and some corned beef hash and some bacon and some hash browns scattered, splattered, and battered. The Waffle House has just what you need, just like the transfer portal, Ryan. You can get basically anything you want. It's a lot of comfort food. It's the transfer portal. That's what college football is now, man. And I'm telling you, this week, OU watched basically a to-go order of Trayvon West head right out the door.
Yeah, and look, John, I just have to admit, I really hope that these transfer portal guys are getting the same kind of life advice that I've gotten at a Waffle House at 3 a.m. Maybe they'll be better for it. But yeah, Trayvon West, he's out the door. And John, this is one of those things that if there was a position that Oklahoma could handle that, it would be the wide receiver position. When you look back to last year, West got on the field. I think he technically logged snaps in 8 games, largely due to special teams. His 4 catches on the year all came in that opener against Missouri State. The last thing I remember of him, John, honestly, is I think it was a 3rd-and-2 in the Cotton Bowl, and he was the target of one of Spencer Rattler's slants, and the Florida defensive back made a good play. West was unable to come down with it, and that's the last we'll remember of him, likely, as a Sooner, assuming that he finds a new destination. But John, like I said, he struggled to get on the field this year as a freshman, but that was with Jaden Hazelwood being injured most of the year. That was with Trajan Bridges only being eligible for 2 games. You bring those 2 guys back into the fold, not to mention Mario Williams, Cody Jackson, Jahlil Farouk, what Billy Bowman might do on both sides of the football. It's one of those things that you never like to lose a player, but if the Sooners could take it at any position, it's the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and I thought Trayvon West was going to have to wait a little while anyway before he kind of got his chance to shine at OU. But obviously, as a true freshman, he was impressive, enough to the coaching staff to get out there and play in 8 games. Like you said, 4 catches for 59 yards in his very first game, Missouri State. I mean, you know, it is what it is. He didn't catch any passes the rest of the year, but guys, he got to play against Texas. He got to play against Oklahoma State. He got to play against Baylor, which, remember, was a very close game, against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game, and, of course, the bowl game. Everybody played then. But he was playing meaningful snaps as a true freshman. And he wasn't catching any passes, like I said, but coaches thought he was good enough to play, and he played in some really big games. But like you said, you look around that receiver room, man, where's Trayvon West going to sit? Marvin Mims, Hazelwood is back this year, supposed to be 100% or close to 100%, if not already. Bridges is going to have a full year in front of him. Theo Weiss had a big sophomore year. And then the guys, like you said, coming in, man, those guys don't play around. All those freshmen, they're really good. And then look at the class of 2022, Ryan. You see commitments from Talon Shetron, the number 7 receiver in the nation. Luther Burden, the number 10 receiver in the nation. Jordan Hudson, the number 16 receiver in the nation. And then here comes Relique Brown, who can play multiple positions, right? He's going to catch a few passes. Guy like Trayvon West looks around and says, when am I going to get to play? Where am I going to sit in this receiver room? So, like I said, Waffle House, it's always open. Out the door he goes. Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, I talked to one of the top offensive tackles in the nation in the 2022 class just last night. He's got Oklahoma in his final three. I'll tell you about it next. Hey, listen up. Winter's here, okay? But you know the seasons in Oklahoma. Cold one day, hot the next. That's a lot of work for your heating and air unit. But the guys at Trade Pros, they got you covered. Sign up for one of their no-hassle service plans. You can go pro, become elite, or the best deals, the MVC, most valuable customer. They'll come out twice a year and tune up your AC and your furnace. You get priority scheduling, and you get additional discounts. Just call Caleb or Carrie at Trade Pros, 405-249-7290, or go to TradeProsOKC.com or look them up on Facebook. Trade Pros. That's one word, Trade Pros Heat and Air. You can always follow SI Sooners on Twitter at @all_Sooners. Find Ryan at Radio's Ryan. And I am always at John E. Hoover, 11 years now, Twitter told me last week. Our website, allsooners.com, Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. As you know, all of our content is free. No memberships, no subscriptions, no credit cards. Just click and enjoy. And if you're on the YouTube, you can find the video version of this podcast on my channel. That's John Hoover Media. Remember to subscribe to that other channel. I appreciate it. We need subscribers over there before we can migrate off of this one. This one's going away. Trust me, eventually, soon, could be this fall. We'll see. Okay, before we jump back into recruiting, which, trust me, you're going to want to hear this. Ryan, we got a little basketball news today. We also got a little softball news and a little baseball news and a little women's basketball news. Like I said, allsooners.com is where you're going to find the latest weather updates. If you got tickets to yesterday's OU Texas game, which was moved to today, which was moved to tomorrow, just go ahead and hold on to those tickets for now. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Because who knows when all this is going to get going. It sounds like on Tuesday, when this OU Texas game was originally slated to be played, the Longhorns weren't sure they were going to be able to make it out of Austin, and the weather has only made that worse. Second, third, however many waves that we've had now, it's blanketing Norman and Austin. Last I checked, very unscientific, John, but my sister near the Austin area, up until yesterday, they still had rolling blackouts where it was 1 hour on, 1 hour off, all day long. So you can tell that creates some problems, and maybe playing a basketball game is lower on the priority list than just making sure everyone's warm, safe, and sound, all that good stuff. So what does that mean for the Sooners, John? They've now got games against the Baylor Bears and the Texas Longhorns. Two home games that the Sooners really need, John, because if you go to allsooners.com, we kind of work through what the Sooners have to do to maybe climb up even more and become a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Saturday, John, when the NCAA committee came out with their tentative seeding, the Sooners were at a 3. They beat West Virginia, a fellow three. That only helps them, but those would be two marquee matchups at home against Baylor and Texas that the Sooners could grab. It would do wonders for their resume. So we're all kind of in limbo here. The Bedlam game moved to March 1st. It's supposed to be the regular season finale for Oklahoma. It feels like if they're going to get those two games, then you'd have to put one in the middle of the week next week, and then late in the middle of the week next week, and then one after that Bedlam game. So we'll see what's going on. But yeah, as of right now, hold on to all those tickets if you had them, because I would assume they're going to try and get them played, because, John, especially the Sooners need it to move up. Baylor, though a one seed, they're going to want to get some games in here before March Madness rolls around, since I don't remember the last time they played basketball.
Texted Joke Stiglione yesterday, and he said it's like moving puzzle pieces around with all the cancellations and postponements that they've got. The softball team's headed south to South Texas, so they should be able to play down at Sam Houston and later on in the week in Houston. Baseball got its opening series against Wichita State, which was in Round Rock, Texas. That got canceled, so they're looking for an additional series somewhere else. They say this weekend, we shall see. And then the women's basketball game against number 7 ranked Baylor on Saturday afternoon got bumped to Sunday afternoon. So those tickets are good. Listen, we got a lot more coming up on Sooner basketball and other stuff. But I want to tell you guys about an interview I did last night with Jake Taylor. He's one of the top offensive tackles in the 2022 class. And this dude, listen, first of all, great interview, okay? Second of all, for my purposes anyway, second of all, because I always start a guy's eval, so to speak, by how good of an interview he is. That's what I need, is a good interview for a good story. Just kidding, but not really. Seriously, go to our website later on today, allsooners.com. Look for my story on Jake Taylor. Just take a look for yourself at this kid's highlights. He is a beast. I know that gets used a lot, but just watch him. Watch his feet. He looks like a tight end, the way he moves his feet and the way he goes after guys. But he finishes like a big offensive tackle, which he is. He plays right tackle. And then as you're watching these highlights where he's got tight end feet and upper body strength of an offensive tackle, remember as you're watching these highlights that you're actually watching a high school sophomore. Yeah. So, listen, this kid's narrowed his finalists down to three schools, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. Yeah, those three schools. He's very smart. He knows what he wants. I had a great conversation with him. He's going to get what he wants, whether it's in Tuscaloosa, South Bend, or Norman. He's a Las Vegas kid, he said, born and raised, but he goes to Bishop Gorman, of course. He told me he likes the small-town college feel that those three schools give. Okay, so that's cool, right? Now, 24/7 Sports has him crystal-balled, so to speak, to Notre Dame. That's 100%, they say. That's not like their Notre Dame site, keeping their fingers crossed. That's their mountain region guy or something that is predicting that. Anyway, I'm not sure I would disagree with that at this point because, okay, first of all, there's a long way to go, obviously, for Jake. But he told me the following, and I quote, "Sorry, but Notre Dame is O-line U with the guys that they put into the NFL. I went, even though Oklahoma has... They say Oklahoma put out a little deal this year. More offensive tackles starting in the NFL in 2020 than any other school, right? But, you know, he also talked about how guys, Alabama puts guys into the NFL, how Alabama obviously wins national championships. So it sounds like Lincoln Riley, Bill Beedenbow, and, yes, DeMarco Murray, Mr. Bishop Gorman himself. Sounds like those guys got a little work to do with Jake. But they are, for now, Ryan, in his final three.
Yeah, and what do we know about recruiting? The Sooners have been stung by it before, but that doesn't mean that, hey, you lose one here, you can't go make it up in the next year's class. Like you said, it's a long way away. No matter what his announcement is, it's all about getting that signature on signing day. And with what the Sooners have done offensively since Lincoln Riley's arrived on campus, with what Bill Beedenbow's track record is, you can't just ever close the book on that, John, because yes, you may label Notre Dame as O-line U, but the results speak for themselves, as they do with all three of those schools. So it sounds like Jake Taylor, you know, wherever he goes, Sooner fans might not want to hear this, but he's in good hands no matter which direction he goes with. But from the Oklahoma perspective, it's a long way to go, and maybe DeMarco Murray can do some more work, and the weight that he carries around there help out the Sooners a little bit to get back into that.
Now, this is what they call a tease in the business, and the tease is this. He told me about his visit, his unofficial visit. Of course, the NCAA had everything shut down recruiting-wise, but he took a trip last year, last football season, to Norman. It was during the Baylor game, and he mentioned a few guys by name who were at that game. He told me all about how much, what he thought about his trip to OU, what he saw, what he liked. That's going to be in the story, allsooners.com. Ryan, I also wrote about the latest wide receiver offer. Yeah, another receiver that the Sooners made this week, right? I mean, you can't have enough five-star receivers, so to speak. This guy is a four-star, actually. But I found it interesting this time that this one might be kind of a package deal, Ryan.
Yeah, we're going to go all the way back out to the sunny, warm Los Alamos, California. We've already given you the rundown on Malachi Nelson, the quarterback in the 2023 class, OU's offer there. Well, his lieutenant, his right-hand man, if you guys know Mr. Lemon out there, he is the guy. Now, John, like we were talking about, he's a wide receiver that Oklahoma would recruit any year just because of the talent that he brings in. He's got that athletic ability to be played at multiple positions, kind of be your Swiss Army knife, John, which is what Oklahoma loves. In Lincoln Riley's offense, you give Lincoln Riley a guy like that. We might see it with Mikey Henderson, not saying they're the same person, but just that utility to be able to move all around the field and stress defenses. He's that kind of guy. You pair it with the fact that he's high school teammates with OU's number one quarterback target, and it just makes perfect sense why the Sooners would be in. Just say, hey, you guys, you have that connection already out there in California. Why don't you just bring that on down to Norman as a member of the 2023 class and get things rolling? So it makes a ton of sense, John, and I was surprised, honestly, that the offer took this long to go out.
Yeah, for sure. Mekhi Lemon is, he's a kid. Go watch his highlights, and then, again, try to remember what you're watching is only a high school freshman. I mean, he was like 14 years old. He's at Los Alamitos right now, but he transferred there from La Mirada, where he played in 2019. They didn't play last year, so he has not played with Nelson yet. He has not played with Malachi Nelson yet, so expect big things from them the next couple of years. As a freshman, get this, 57 catches for 784 yards and 4 touchdowns. He also had 4 interceptions on defense as a freshman. So believe me, he's a guy that could project either as a wide receiver or a defensive back. He's 5'11", 175 right now. Obviously, he'll be bigger. He hasn't had a chance yet, like I said, to play with Malachi. So you can't really kind of maybe pretend they're a classic, what you would call a package deal. I was kind of playing around about that, but who knows? They could be great friends already. They probably know each other from going back to the day, right? Ryan, I want you to get to your story on the 21 schedule. If you guys didn't see it, the Big 12 finalized this year's schedule. Ryan did a story on it last week, ranking every OU game in 2021, every opponent, I should say, all 12 of them, from the easiest to the hardest. And yeah, guess what? There has been some blowback, I should say, if I could speak. Yes, there has, because Ryan thinks Oklahoma's non-conference game against Nebraska is going to be easier than Oklahoma's non-conference game against Tulane. Ryan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, John, I was in Jerry World the last time the Sooners and the Cornhuskers were on the same field together. That was an incredible game. That's the only incredible game I remember these two teams playing in a very long time. And I've been to a bunch of them, John. This is nothing against the rivalry. It is one of the premier games in college football. There will be tons of pageantry. It will be awesome until kickoff. Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers have not been good. Scott Frost has not been the savior that Nebraska needed after Mike Riley. And Oklahoma, like, Nebraska will have Oklahoma's attention, like everything we've mentioned. Because of the hype surrounding this game, this isn't going to be, there's a 0% chance in my mind that the Sooners overlook this game or anything like that, because it means so much to the fan base, which is why you turn the page to Tulane, who was a pretty decent team in their own right last season. Oklahoma will have to go on the road. The last two times the Sooners opened up the season away from home, John, they went and just lost straight up to Houston. And then that game, that really late kick, I think it kicked off at like 8 or 9 Central Time at UTEP. Landry Jones, it took a while to just get going. I think the Sooners only won 24-7. Like, it's just an uncommon thing for this program to open up on the road. And it's a decent team. By no means am I putting OU on upset alert or anything like that, John. But I just think the focus that'll be on that Nebraska game in Norman, that'll be easy running for the Sooners. I was thinking back to 2008, where it was 21-0 before Nebraska even got off the bus. I feel like it could be that kind of experience. So yes, I understand the sticker shock of seeing Tulane ranked as a more difficult game than Nebraska, but this is what happens when you have a premier opponent and the team doesn't match up to the billing at home. Like, it's going to be ugly. And I don't expect the same thing at Tulane just because it's such a different situation.
You make a good point. Hard to argue all of that. Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, man, we got NFL draft. We got OU basketball, OU softball. But first, we debate which five freshmen on the OU football team will make the biggest impact in 2021. Hey, are you a business owner looking to get your product out there to the masses? Let's say you run a hotel in Norman or a car dealership in Oklahoma City or a restaurant in Edmond. Or maybe you're a small online business who creates and sells OU merchandise and you just want Sooner Nation to come sample your wares. Well, then consider advertising in this space right here on the SI Sooners podcast. SI Sooners reaches thousands of readers, viewers, and listeners literally every day. And the SI Sooners podcast is the ideal place to find your next customer. To advertise, send an email to allsoonerssi@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @all_Sooners. Final segment of the SI Sooners podcast. I lied a little bit, Brian. Before we debate which five freshmen will have the biggest impact in 2021 on the football team, let's give the people what they really want, which is OU softball. Jeez, oh, Pete, did you guys see the scores last week in El Paso, Texas at the Minor Invitational? The teams there were minor. OU made them look minor. Now, we just talked to Giselle Juarez, T.R.A. Jennings, who went as a freshman in her first game. 12 of 13, hit 5 bombs, like 30 total bases. Unbelievable. And of course, Patty Gasso, we talked to her this morning, I guess. And OU guys, they were jaw-dropping good. Final score, OU 70, as in 7-0. Everybody else, 2. They beat UTEP 29-0. They beat Abilene Christian 9-0. Then the next day they beat Abilene Christian 11-0. Then they finished by beating UTEP in the finale 21-2. Yes, UTEP actually scored 2 runs. Just unreal how good this team is. NCAA record 13 home runs that first game. 24 home runs for the weekend. Patty Gasso said it was the, what was her quote, Ryan? The most incredible thing she's ever seen, or yes, Something like that. She said that today.
And it you pair that with how this team started last year, returning all that talent. And yes, we now understand, you know, G. Juarez had a little bit of an injury, a major injury, not just a little bit of an injury, but this team was really slow out of the gate in 2020 for that little bit that we saw, John, which I think that's what makes it so much more impressive, that we've grown accustomed to Patty Gasso knows how to have her team peaking at the right time, John, that she knows it's a long marathon season. You play a ton of games in college softball. So to come out like that in game one, John, it was 12-0 before the Sooners recorded their first out of the season. Like, that is how ridiculous it was. They had already batted through. There were, gosh, I think if it was 5 or 6 home runs just in the first inning, 3 of those being back-to-back-to-back. Like you said, everyone came out there. T.R.A. Jennings, the freshman, 12 of 13 on the weekend. She had 3 homers in the game. Oh, Grace Lyons, yeah, she also had 3 home runs. Both of those are tied school records for home runs in a game. Like, anything you wanted out of this team, you got. the fourth inning there when she start when Patty Gasso started to rotate in some of the girls that didn't get the start. Guess what? They were dropping bombs too down there in El Paso. So I don't know what more you can ask for out of a team. It doesn't matter who they're playing. There's been a lot of good teams play a lot of bad teams in the history of college softball, and nobody has sent 13 balls to the parking lot. So just an incredibly impressive start by Oklahoma. The pitching staff equally as good. They had two staff no hitters broken up in the final inning. So it's not just that, you know, hey, there are runners on base, they got out of it, John. No, they were suffocating on offense, on defense, in the field. Anything and everything you wanted out of OU softball, that long wait, you got all of it in one weekend.
Yes, on Jennings, she said she's never seen anything like it in her career, the freshman. And on the overall four games, Patty said might be the most flawless performance that she's ever seen in her career to start a season. Now, listen, that's pretty incredible for the coach who's won four national championships to say that after one weekend is pretty incredible. And I might be a little bit of a prisoner of the moment here. Maybe I'm kind of buying the hype. Maybe I'm a victim of recency bias, whatever. Ryan, this might be Patty Gasso's best team. And I say that because talking to her in the preseason, talking to her again today, she's giving off that vibe, and she's not shying away from any of those comparisons. So, all right, let's give the people what they really want, Ryan. Aside from softball, the most popular team on campus right now, men's basketball. Right. So we told you at the top that OU Texas, they rematch in Norman, has been postponed, what, three times now, this time indefinitely. We don't know when that's going to happen. Ryan,
for sure.
Ryan did some analysis on how high this team could climb on come Selection Sunday. If you want to read it, allsooners.com. It's very well thought out, very well constructed analysis. I agree that a two seed is not out of the question for this team at all. But Ryan, the question I would have about OU basketball moving forward is kind of in the vein of, have they played enough games? That's kind of being silly, but there's a kernel of truth there. You climb up the seedings by beating really good teams. If you don't get a chance to avenge your loss to Baylor, and you don't get a chance to sweep Texas, does the selection committee hold that against Oklahoma?
John, I think they will, and I mean, just everyone remember, by hold it against them, we mean OU is merely a three seed instead of a two seed. Still incredible from what our expectations were coming into the season here. But look, normally in years past, the script has been a little flipped. OU plays an incredibly tough non-conference slate, does pretty well, gets into conference play, and they just need to bat 500 just to get into the tournament, and they've done that. This year, Oklahoma's non-conference slate, of the current two seeds, that would be Villanova, Illinois, Houston, and Alabama, Oklahoma has by far the weakest non-conference slate, and their most important non-conference game, John, against Xavier, they got blown out. Now, I think the committee, by showing Oklahoma the respect of naming them a three seed, they understand this is a totally different Oklahoma team than what went through that non-conference slate. If you look at it, OU 5-5 with their quadrant run wins, the most elite wins that you can have. If they can beat Oklahoma State on the road, they'll have six. That's tied for as good as any of the other two seeds. But like you said, John, if you don't have the chance to beat Texas, you don't have the chance to upset Baylor, which would be the best win in the country since neither Baylor nor Gonzaga have been beat yet. Those are two bullets in the chamber that OU would really love to have to when they're in that room and the committee is discussing whether they should be a two seed or a three seed. Now, here's the thing, John. We don't know what the schedule holds, but if they don't get to play against Texas or Baylor, I would think that would be because they're saying, we're not going to play the regular season games, we're going to try the Big 12 tournament. If that happens, it could all be a wash because you make a deep run, you make the Big 12 championship game. I think if you make the Big 12 championship game and just don't get blown out, you should probably be a top two seed in the country with what this Big 12 slate has been. So it's a little catch 22. It's a little dicey, but assuming the Sooners finish out the way we think they will, if they even just split against Oklahoma State and take care of the rest of the way, that should be a three seed, which I think is reward enough for what they've done this season.
Okay, let's get back to some football. Ryan, did you know that every human being on this planet has a mock draft? I counted them up, man. There are approximately 7.7 billion mock drafts. I looked at each one. I found one from a three-year-old kid in Senegal that I think is really on the money. The kid knows his stuff. Anyway, one of the guys out there who does do a mock draft that a lot of people put stock in is Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, NFL.com. Well, Daniel Jeremiah, I think he's at Move the Sticks on Twitter. He thinks Ronnie Perkins is a first-round pick. OU fans right now are going, well, yeah, dummy, Hoover, he is. The other 7.6 billion or so mock drafts that you can find on the internet don't necessarily agree. Not yet. I think they'll come around now that Jeremiah's gone out on that limb. Most of them will come around. They'll follow what he does, or him and Mel Kiper. You know, you guys know who it is. McShay's going to do one. There's going to be about a dozen really good ones. That's when everybody starts to come around. But anyway, Jeremiah, I think, is pretty accurate. A lot of people are going to follow him, but his mock draft 2.0 projects Perkins to the, I think, New York Jets.
Yeah.
Poor Ronnie Perkins. There's a few other mock drafts that project Creed Humphrey as a first rounder. That's going to be tough. I think, honestly, I have a hard time seeing that. Not because he's not a first round talent. I think he is. I think he's got first round talent, ability. He's got the, like, going to have the staying power in his career of a first round draft pick. But if you just look at your draft history, centers don't go in the first round. It's a proven fact. There's been 13 drafted in the first round in the last 20 years, so there's a possibility, and it's a solid possibility, I guess, but it's still kind of a long shot. Only twice have there been two centers picked in the first round in the last 20 years, and right now Creed is viewed as the number two or number three prospect, depending on who you follow. I do think the Steelers could get him in the second round. Marquise Pouncey retired, so maybe they like him enough that they know he can kind of anchor that position for the next 10 years or so, like Pouncey did. We'll see. It's going to be fun to watch over these next couple of months. It always is, how these guys move up and down in the draft stock. Ryan, let's get this debate started. I wrote a story yesterday picking the five freshmen that I think will have the biggest, the most immediate impact on the football team in 2021. I picked, it's pretty easy, two receivers, two linebackers, and a cornerback. Not a quarterback, a cornerback. Billy Bowman, Mario Williams, Danny Stutzman, Clayton Smith, and Latrell McCutcheon. Now, you could say that I'm stupid. OU's already loaded at receiver, as we've already talked about, and that is true, I know. But I think these two guys, the ones that I mentioned, are good enough to come in. Bowman and Mario Williams are good enough to come in and make an impact, not only at receiver, but in the return game, and maybe probably in Bowman's case for sure, on defense. I think Stutzman is a he's one of those awesome players to watch. It's just a psycho wild man. He plays with such a high motor and such kind of a lunatic effort that he's going to do something really big this year at some point. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's going to block a punt, like I wrote in the story. Maybe he's the kind of guy that comes in the fourth quarter and runs down some running back in the final minutes of the Western Carolina game. He's going to save a touchdown, right, and become a fan favorite. Smith is going to get snaps as OU tries to replace Ronnie Perkins. I think Smith is that good. And then Trey Brown off to the NFL creates an opening at corner, and I could see a battle brewing between Latrell McCutcheon and DJ Graham to fill that spot. I think Graham wins it in the preseason. I think he's that good. But by the end of the year, I'm seeing McCutcheon be kind of an every down, every situation, every series kind of guy. It doesn't matter what part of the game it is, he's going to come in and he's going to get some playing time. Ryan, who are your five freshmen who are going to impact the season in 2021?
Well, John, I got to say, just so everyone knows, of course, John, the senior, said, I'm going to pick my five first. Screw you, Ryan. So I've had to deal with the scraps. And like I said, I told you before, John, I kind of had to cheat to get this in, but I was able to grab four just because I just want to take Stutzman and nail him to the board. That's the guy that I think is surefire. I believe with everything in my being that Stutzman's going to come in and he's going to make an impact on this team with how he plays football. So we'll take that aside. I've got four names for you. The first one, Caleb Williams. John, it's a quarterback. We know there was a mass exodus out of the quarterback room via the transfer portal. Tanner Mordecai, a member of this team no longer. Chandler Morris, a member of this team no longer. I don't want to put any bad juju out there, but you, at any position, you are only one play away from that next guy having to come in and contribute. Quarterback is going to have the most eyeballs, and of course, when you've got the number one player in the country, at any given moment, he could come in and be that guy. And look, who's to say Caleb Williams' impact, even if he's not playing, could still be seen on the field this season, John. If he's pushing Spencer Rattler knows, I cannot revert to my turnover days that plagued him early in 2020, because we've got this young guy, breathing down my neck back here. So if we get the best out of Spencer Rattler, if we see the best out of Spencer Rattler, John, then I think a lot of that credit goes to Spencer Rattler and Lincoln Riley, obviously, but Caleb Williams for coming in and contributing. Okay, the next guy I've got is Ethan Downs. You talked about Clayton Smith trying to help replace some of that production from Ronnie Perkins. I think that Downs, he's a little bit bigger, more of an end than a rush linebacker, but he can come in and be a guy to replace a little bit of that presence Perkins had in the run game. And then maybe John Michael Terry, he also was a guy that stood up down there and did a lot in the run game. I think that Ethan Downs is someone that can come in and get into that rotation and give Oklahoma some help in that way. The third guy I've got, I guess really the fourth, we count Stutzman, Isaiah Coe. We saw what Oklahoma and Alex Grinch did last year with two JUCO guys coming in and playing that interior defensive line in Perron Winfrey and Josh Ellison. If Coe can do whatever they did, get on that track, have an actual spring and summer to come in and get acclimated, there's no reason why he's another guy that shouldn't be in that rotation as well. So I think Coe could come in and be that third or fourth guy in, give everyone a little bit of a breather, because we know that Alex Grinch loves his rotation. And this is where I cheated, John. Number five, you said, and I quote, freshman that can contribute. Last time I checked, Keyshawn Lawrence is still going to be labeled as a freshman. I know he got some game time at Tennessee. I get that, but he is new to the program this year, and he's a guy that I think could come in and from day one compete maybe at that nickel position or for snaps on the back end at safety. You're having to replace Trey Norwood and Bukie Radley-Hiles. Key Lawrence is a guy that I think could come in and try to lay his name down as a guy that should be on the field from day one, starting there and then move around, because he's that versatile. So that's my five. Thanks for nothing.
So Ethan Downs, basically, right? You took one of my guys, you took a JUCO guy, you took a transfer, you took a quarterback, and then you took Ethan Downs. I'll say this. You're clever and you're resourceful, so I'll give you that. But I'll say this about the quarterback situation. You're not far off, I don't think, at all. And one of the reasons that the defense improved as fast as it did was because they were having to go against a guy by the name of Spencer Rattler in practice every day. Okay, Spencer Rattler was the scout team quarterback. Well, that's not happening this year. For the most part, I would think that Caleb Williams is going to be the backup quarterback, and the scout team guy is going to be one of those preferred walk-ons that we saw coming in last month. So, yeah, that's going to make a difference. I want you guys to listen to the SI Sooners podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts, or on your Amazon-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the SI Sooners podcast. Don't forget to go to our website, allsooners.com. Click on the player and listen on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. Or just watch the video version on my YouTube channel. That's John Hoover Media. For Ryan Chapman, I'm John Hoover. See you guys.